It's Loving the Strange with Carrie Jones and Sean Farrar. Loving the Strange, a podcast for weirdos and those who want to be weirder, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Loving the Strange. Check us out. Hey, welcome to Loving the Strange, Sean Kelly. Well, I am injured today. I have a very painful toe. I spent a lot of time Googling toe pain, sudden onset, and now I think I have gout.
You don't have gout, but just the fact that, I mean, the only worst part of your body you could say that hurt you would be your pinky.
No, your big toe is important.
I mean, it's like a small, my earlobe is killing me today.
Your big toe is very important.
But you definitely had something going on there, baby.
Your big
not gout. And your big toe, it's the center of all your balance in your body, I think.
It's important.
Without that, you just fall over.
It's so important.
Like one of those stupid men who try to stand up, you know, the articulable action figures that never stand up straight.
You mean like when you're a little kid and like for your birthday or holiday where you give out presents, you would get like an action figure.
Yeah.
And you try to stand them up.
Yeah, they always fall over. And then you just chop their feet off out of sheer frustration.
Do you have a lot of feelings about that, baby?
Oh, I hate those.
Really?
I was pretty good at getting them to stand up.
I bet you were. And they would like have that little hole in the bottom of their foot.
Yeah.
And then you could like press them into stuff and it'd be like all chill. D's here. Hey, D.
Hey, D. So is Nathan Lake.
Nate!
I know.
OMG. You made me squeak, Nate. Haven't seen you in ages. I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah.
Yay, Nate. D says sorry about my toe. D, I am also very sorry about my toe. Let me tell you what happened so somebody can diagnose me. So I spent 20 minutes today earlier doing squats where you go down flat but then go up on your toes, right, in different positions because I'm like that. And then so 20 minutes of squats, right, with toe stuff.
Uh-huh.
But everything felt fine. Everything felt good. And then I drove the kiddo to Bangor to catch a bus, to go to Boston, to go to Rhode Island for drill.
So that was like, what, 2.5 hours in the car?
Yeah. So I had 2.5 hours in the car. I got out of the car and everything went terribly wrong.
Man.
Terribly.
My hip. Sounds like fibromyalgia to me.
Don't be making fun. My hip like hitched. I was like, oh, hip. And then I got up the stairs into the house. I don't really remember taking off my shoes because the dogs were there, but I didn't untie them because I'm lazy.
Because he never does.
And then I thought, oh, are you supposed to feel this kind of pain in your big toe on your right foot?
Only if you're running into a sledgehammer.
It was hell. It was hell. And it still really, 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 really hurts. But Fiona says that she ran into a sledgehammer a few weeks ago with her big toe. But see, that sounds horrific.
That has a reason. You have a reason for your toe.
But there's a reason. I don't have a reason to be in pain. Like, I don't get it. I was like,
it's called a phantom pain.
It's not. It's so bad.
No, that doesn't make it any less real.
What?
Nothing.
It's not a phantom. It's so bad.
Pain is in the eye of the beholder. Be painted.
All right. Next time you have something that hurts in your belly, I'm going to be like, oh, baby, it's phantom.
Oh, yeah.
That's so sexist.
You know when I run into the bathroom, but I'm not lying.
Okay. Fiona says there's a lot of blood, LOL.
Oh, Jesus.
Every time you say there's a lot of blood and then you have an LOL after it. You're like, ooh, that probably was a lot of blood. There's always a reason. Maybe you're bracing on your big toe when doing the squats. I think that probably happened. And then I just like had my foot stuck. Like the roads were vaguely bad because we had a huge storm. And maybe my foot was stuck.
It was on your pedal foot.
It was on my pedal foot.
That's right.
I didn't realize I had a pedal foot until right now.
Well, your right foot, because you don't drive a car with a clutch, which would be your left foot. So
that'd be cool. I wish I were that cool. So this week's episode is about what, Shawnee?
Toe pain.
No. It's about old people talking about you. <That's not laughs> Dog.
Hey, see what happens is we have this stray dog in our house.
We have the grand dog. So Emily, our kiddo, came up from D.C. during a really horrific northeaster storm.
And abandoned her dog.
And abandoned her puppy with us, her rescue puppy, with our rescue puppy. And now they are rescue puppying, barking. And Sean got up. And the podcast is over, I guess. I don't know.
Just because the talent leaves doesn't mean the podcast is over.
So anyways, and then Emily left, as I was saying, to get on a bus, to go to Boston, to carpool, to Rhode Island, where she's going to drill, which is what you do in the Army Reserves. And then she's going to D.C. for a day. And then she's going to New Jersey for a week to do some training. And then she's doing stuff I'm not allowed to talk about.
Yay.
Yeah. And we have her dog.
Oh, the point is we're babysitting.
We're babysitting the pup. And his name is Mr. Murphy, and he looks a lot like our last dog, Sparty.
Only
a lot skinnier. Our goal is to make him obese in 4 weeks.
We can do that.
I think we can.
You are a master treater.
I am a master treater. So anyways, our podcast today is not about toes. It's not about getting older, and it's not even about Mr. Murphy, the amazing doggy that we're babysitting. It's about what?
Strange life events.
Right. Do you have any, Bay?
I got, not from myself, but I got one I found online.
All right. If any of you have any, please chime in too.
I think I might have a personal one. I just didn't want to start off with that.
Why not? That's what makes it interesting.
No, I'm not prepared.
What?
I'm just not prepared.
How are you not prepared? It's your own life.
I guess I haven't thought of it yet.
So you don't really have.
So I'm not prepared.
So you don't really have a life event?
I got lots of life events.
Oh, Nate had a math teacher in high school named Mr. Murphy.
Maybe this is him.
It might be
reincarnated
him.
As a dog.
Yeah. Did he die about 7 years ago? Did he need a little Prozac to help him get by?
All math teachers need a little Prozac. Jesus.
Fiona said that was such a mom statement. How are you not prepared? It's your own life.
She is pretty much a mom.
I am a mom. You can't take the mom out of me. I try to like mom out, like things like, so we have a hyper local newspaper. And so that means that we talk about things that happen on our island and especially in our town. Which means that we have to interact with a lot of the town counselors, et cetera, town managers, all these random people, right? That we probably wouldn't normally interact with. And while I'm asking them probing questions, I'm always like, are you doing okay? Are you all right? This seems a little traumatic for you, which is the worst reporter thing ever, but the most mommy thing.
Yeah.
Ever. So I can't get rid of my mom. It's just impossible, honestly.
At least you don't try to get them food.
I would. If I had enough time to make people food right now, I would probably be sending everyone in this town banana bread.
A care package.
Like a banana bread for you. I'd be like the Oprah Winfrey of banana bread. I'd be like a banana bread for you. A banana bread for you. Some Buckeyes for you.
That's a lot of bacon, babe.
I know, I miss baking. Anyways.
Found what I thought was an interesting story online.
Okay.
About somebody's weird life event.
Okay.
And they said, one morning I woke up and noticed my camera was on top of the sofa opposite my bed.
Well, that's interesting.
I knew I didn't put it there because it was a very expensive camera and it could very easily fall from this place. Oh. I had placed it in my cabinet. I went over, picked it up and turned it on and clicked the button to review photos.
I don't like any of this story.
There were hundreds of photos of me sleeping, all seemingly taken from the back of the sofa. I was literally so freaked out I couldn't stop crying. I lived alone. It was just photo after photo of me sleeping. The photos were taken in quick snap mode, where the camera takes approximately one photo per second. I later realized the camera didn't have a quick snap mode setting, so technically it was impossible for the camera to take the photos at all. The timestamp suggests all photos were taken between 2 and 3 a.m. 3 a.m. being the witching hour, mind you.
I think that's 3:15.
I've never figured out WTF happened, how the camera got to the sofa, or how it is even possible for a camera with no quick snap to quick snap. But I still have a USB with photos on it, and it still freaks me the F out.
Where did that story come from?
Oh, Bored Panda.
That's the most terrifying story I've ever
heard. .com. I know, that's why I chose it. It's pretty cool, isn't it? It is.
No, there is nothing cool about that story. That is a terrifying story.
I think it's cool.
Because you're creepy. But that is a terrifying. This person was asleep. Somehow that camera, like, even if they sleep, like, did a sleepwalk thing, they would have to set, like, a camera timer thing in order to take pictures of themselves in bed asleep.
That's right.
That's a lot. That's a lot. It's possible, but it's a lot.
But that's crazy.
No, and that's not nice. But that's horrifying. Okay, Fiona says, oh.
What?
No. All right.
I'll read it.
Okay.
I saw a town dentist naked once. LOL. She, no. She likes the LOLs.
I love her.
I used to be their regular babysitter, and one night when I came to babysit, the mom called me upstairs not realizing he was still in the shower. I got to the top of the stairs just as he walked out naked.
Fiona just said, oh, wait, I may have misunderstood strange life events. No.
Oh, no, no. That fits perfectly.
It's perfect. It's an umbrella term.
Yeah.
Once.
I just didn't want to jump right into the naughty stories.
Once. I'll go into a vaguely naughty story. Once. I was babysitting someone who became very famous and is still currently famous, right? I never babysat them again because they were jerks. It was two boys and their mom worked in our school system. And I was just sitting there in kind of like the living room area.
Yeah.
I was doing this as a favor to one of my friends who was their normal babysitter. Nobody else could babysit them that night. I think there was a big dance or something, and I was the only one who didn't have a date. Anyways, I'm sitting there. They're all playing like weird little video games in the other room or something. And I looked down and I saw my first playgirl.
Where?
At their house.
No, I know that, but where?
Under the Two People magazines and the National
like on the coffee table or something?
And the National Geographic on top of it. And I was like, oh. Because this person in the family worked in the school system, so I knew them. And, like, it was this total shock for my seventh grade self. Like, I could not understand how this person
well,
that I knew.
Well, playgirls were for women, so.
Yeah, yeah. And so that was really strange for me. But then the worst part is that these two very brilliant, very clever little boys, when it was time for bed, blackmailed me.
What?
Yeah. They were like, you know what? If you make us go to sleep right now, we're going to tell our mom that you did terrible things. And then everyone in the whole school will know that you did terrible things to us and that you're really sick and twisted. I'm like just sitting there in my seventh grade self being like, what the hell is wrong with you little boys? Go to bed. And they're like, no, we're going to blackmail you. none of our other babysitters make us go to bed. We all just run. We run in when we hear my mom and dad coming. I'm like, I don't care. You're assholes. I don't ever. I'm sorry for my language. Damn. But I was like, no, I was so mad. You don't blackmail me. And I was like, just like, you go to bed right now. And I do not care what you tell your parents, because your mom teaches in a grade under mine and she can't hurt me. And I don't want to deal with you. You're jerks. And they're like, you're not jerks. You're the jerk because you won't let us stay up. And I'm like, I don't want to deal with you. I would have maybe let you stay up, but you just blackmailed me. You got like got rid of any good kindness in my heart. Future famous person, go to bed. I never babysat for them again. I refused.
Did you happen to look at the magazine and see if it was a subscription? Like it had the address label on it?
Yeah, it was a subscription.
Oh, you should have stolen that.
I know. It would have been good blackmail back.
That's right.
I know.
You could have controlled the whole family.
Sadly, I was not that devious.
Man.
Yeah. And like the point of that weird life event.
We weren't dating in seventh grade.
The point of that weird life event was it was the first time I saw... It was the second time I saw pornographic material in real life, right?
Yeah.
And just like the first time, it was totally unexpected. And then the other weird part is that a very famous person tried to blackmail me.
They weren't famous then.
No, they were a little dwarf then. And that's part of it too. Like there was barely any, like these kids were like, how old are you in seventh grade?
I don't know. I was just getting ready to ask you that.
5, 6, 7, 7, 8, 8, 9, 9, 10, 10, 11, 11, 12. I was like 12.
Is that seventh grade?
Yeah, I was like 12 or 13.
Yeah.
And they were like 11. Like there was barely any difference in our ages.
Oh, yeah.
It was ridiculous. I don't even know why they had babysitters for their kids.
Man. By 11 or 12, I was knee-deep into the porno mess.
I know you were, but I wasn't. I wasn't.
I remember having to figure stuff out that I'd read, and I'd be like, what is happening? And luckily, I was semi-intelligent, and I could figure most of it out.
It was...
Some of it didn't come to me until years later, and I'd be like, oh, now I got it!
Oh, so Susie has a brilliant way of figuring out what age you are, which is take the grade number and add 6. And now I'll always know that because Susie's brilliant. Fiona says, it can't be Elon Musk because he grew up in South Africa. Where did Carrie grow up again? If I tell you that, somebody's going to Wikipedia and figure it out. And she also said reverse blackmail but psychology opportunity loss. I know, because I wasn't devious. I was just self-righteous. And I still fail to be devious and am only self-righteous. And Fiona said about the dentist naked story is they called my mom to let her know and I came home and I never said a word about it.
Oh, I got a kind of a Fiona type story, actually, that was a strange life event for me.
That's so sad, though. Okay, I'm ready.
I don't remember how old I was.
Dude, you look... Can you take a break for a second?
Yeah.
You are just doing this podcast, laid back in your chair, with your head tilted all the way... Like, you don't care.
Because I was trying to remember. I was trying to recall. Right,
you are so casual.
I was trying to recall something. Really? I have no idea how old I was. Like, let me think. I was 13 or more. How about that?
Okay.
And
do we want to hear the story, Captain Casual?
We were at my cousin Brooke's house. It was an apartment where her mom lived with her, my cousin and my aunt. And so this would have been 13, 81-ish, 82.
It doesn't matter.
I'm just saying how long ago it was.
It was a
two-bedroom apartment, and my cousin Brooke's bedroom. Everybody, including me, we had all either gone to the beach or swimming somewhere, and it was my aunt, my cousin, a bunch of my aunt's friends, a couple of my aunt's friends. So me being like 13 was just like a raging hormone.
Oh no!
And I thought all these women were just attractive or whatever.
All your relatives?
No, they weren't relatives. They were friends of my aunt.
Okay.
So when we got back to her apartment, it was like, whatever, I was super tired. I went and laid down at my cousin Brooke's bedroom. And if you open my cousin Brooke's door, bedroom door, it looked right at the door for the bathroom. It was just an apartment, right? So one bathroom, two bedrooms.
Okay.
Anyways, so one of the women went in there to shower off. So we probably went to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I was laying down in the bed, like I wanted to take a nap, but I wasn't asleep yet. But the
that
bedroom,
sounds like you.
The bedroom door was open.
Oh, no.
She came out of the bathroom with a towel wrapped around her. I couldn't say anything.
Good.
But to me, that was probably still exciting. But she walked, because my face was facing the bathroom, she walked right up to the edge of the bed and, like, opened the towel. And that was the first time I ever saw a woman, like, below the waist, I think. But, and stood there for just a second and then closed it up. She had clothes or something in my cousin's bedroom. Like, she had brought clothes for after school.
Did she know you were there?
Yes. See, I was pretending to be asleep. So, but I don't know if she could tell I wasn't asleep and was just effing with me or what. But, yeah.
The best part of that story.
Yeah.
Is how you just ended that story.
What?
Which was, well, yeah. Yep.
Well,
yeah.
That's about all there was to it. It happened and it was over.
That would really shake a little young person's brain.
Not me.
Oh, really?
I mean, I was probably ready to have a 13-year-old heart attack.
Dude, that's a really weird story.
That was probably the most exciting thing that ever happened to me in my life.
It's probably still the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you in your whole life.
No, baby, you've surpassed that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Many times over.
Because that totally sounds like something I do. John Bell says.
Semi-intelligent. You can read it. It's about me. I don't want
to. Okay, this is about Sean. Semi-intelligent. You were the school book smartest in the group. Otherwise, not so much.
That's probably true.
John Bell, that's so funny because in my head, Sean's like the smartest person at everything in the whole world.
Well, it might be nowadays.
Carrie is really fishing with this topic. I could tell a couple crazy shorty stories. John Bell calls Sean, who's way too tall, shorty. But he probably has a couple about me. So I'll be as quiet as a church mouse.
Now I'm going to get grilled all night long.
I know.
What was John talking about?
What was he talking about? What was he talking about? What is this story? Fiona says, oh my God, my jaw just dropped. Fiona, I have never heard this story and I've been married to this man for a while now.
It's not a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
It was.
If you switch the sexes or genders or whatever on that, can you imagine how big a deal that would have been?
Back then?
Right now.
Oh,
anytime.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You're allowed to admit that it's a big deal. That was a big deal story, babe. Like, it's a big deal.
It was only a big deal to me because it was, like, exciting. Like, you know. All
right, I'm going to go to a story.
Probably, like, 30. I was like,
oh, all the 30.
Just barely a teenager. That's twice my age.
I know. Are you ready for a creepy life story?
Grown-ass woman, yeah.
All right. This is from BuzzFeed, and it's a creepy, scary story. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
On the day before my grandfather's funeral, I got a call from an unknown number. They left a message, so I went to listen. There was a bit of static. Then a distinct and familiar voice said, "Try to have a good day tomorrow."
Yeah, that's creepy.
I hurled my phone across the room and called my dad into the room. I went to grab my phone and show him the message, but it was gone. I had been the last person to talk to my grandfather on the phone before he passed. I have to wonder if this was his way of finishing our last conversation.
Probably.
Dude, that's an amazingly weird story.
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah, I like stories about, like, you know, stories about their, like, kind of communication from the recently deceased.
Yeah.
It's quite common. I've had one myself.
Wait, what was yours?
But not like a phone call. Mine was a dream.
Okay, tell me.
But it was just so real. I don't remember it specifically. I know it was about my Uncle Wyatt.
Okay.
And my grandmother, I told her about it the next morning. She's like, oh, he just came to say hi or whatever. But it was, you know, in the dream, it was like we were there, like hanging out. We used to hang out all the time.
Emmy and I, my daughter and I, both had a dream about my mom on the same night.
Yeah.
And in my, like, last year, I think. And in my dream, my mom was on, like, this beautiful green grassy field by the ocean.
Yeah.
And one of my mom's big things before she, like, a couple of years before she died.
Yeah.
It was before Airbnbs were a big deal thing. Like, now, this would have been the easiest request to give to my mom. But she just really wanted to come up here to Maine and, like, have a place for a week by the ocean or by a lake and just hang out.
Yeah.
And in my dream, which reminded me of that, she was like on this grassy thing and everybody's wearing these beautiful clothes and she was pretty young and she was very healthy. And she was just like, look, it's beautiful here. No worries, Carrie. It's beautiful.
Was Emily's dream the same?
It was Emily. What she remembered was Nana and the ocean and Nana trying to tell her something about it being okay.
Oh,
and it was the same exact night. We were in totally different cities because it's Emily and I. And, like, yeah, it was really wild and weird. And I love those kind of, like, even if they're just your brain making it up, it's so beautiful.
Yeah, that's why I like it. They're
cool.
Especially if it's not, like, a dream thing.
Yeah.
The phone story was great.
Yeah, the phone story is amazing. Like, just so cool. So cool. I have another one. Do you want to hear it?
Is it like a flashing story or something, Bobby?
Is that the only kind of story you want to
hear? No, but they're the best. I like to hear.
Do you have another flashing story that you'd like to share?
No, I think of one. Just give me a couple minutes.
I have another one. Ready?
Yeah.
It's not a camera on the back of a sofa. It's not flashing and it's not talking from the dead, but it's another like weird life experience that if people are telling the truth, you're like, wait, what happened? You know what I mean? So this one again is from BuzzFeed and it says, my aunt used to live in this old house that everyone in the family joked was haunted. On Christmas, she woke up and went down to the living room to find all the sofas, like cushions from the sofa, right? Yeah. If you can imagine it, arranged on the floor in a cross.
Really?
That happened in my house.
That happened in your house?
Yep.
With the sofa cushions?
Yep, I have an absolute memory of that.
That was just your mom getting it on with the guy who pretended to be Santa Claus that night. I'm just teasing.
My mom's going to come down and kill you. But anyways, for this woman, only her husband and her lived in this house. And they both were like, I did not do that. I did not do that either. I did not do that. And it's just weird.
Oh.
But to me, that one was like super weird because I have such a memory of that.
Listen, if that happens this coming Christmas, it wasn't me.
It's totally you. Fiona says, that was a couple of great stories. Very cool. John Bell says, you can read this
one. My mom had a crazy cousin that moved in with us that was batshit crazy.
Language.
That's what I'm reading.
You just say beep.
He said bay, actually. He misspelled.
Bay. Beep.
Bay shit crazy. But that's not the bad word, baby.
Okay.
Anyways, she used to argue with herself in the morning in the bathroom with four different voices.
Oh, no.
One night I came home smashed, and she came in my room and told me the CIA was after her for hours. He says, I remember her. I don't. Like, I vaguely remember this story, like the fabric of the story, but I don't remember the person.
Those kind of things are so hard when you're a kid. Like, they're so weird to you. Like, you know, like, especially back when we were growing up and stuff, like mental illness didn't really make a ton of sense. You know, it wasn't like as understood as now. So when you had somebody in your family doing stuff like that, it was just so weird as a kid.
I think we probably had a couple of mental ill friends and we just thought they were the odd ones.
Yeah, but like, it's just, seriously. It's interesting. Like, and then how do you, like, and then because of that stigma and that lack of understanding, then, like, how those moments when, like, you know, John Bell's like, this woman's in my room. I'm totally drunk, teenager. And here she is like, the CIA is coming to get me. Like, that's gotta be really weird for your brain, right? Like, it's gotta be weird. I think John says it was Crown and coffee, which sounds like a main drink, honestly.
Kind of, but that's, what is it? I forget. It's Bailey's. Allen's coffee brandy. Allen's coffee brandy.
Yes.
And milk. Ooh.
So for, there's this drink in Maine called, that a lot of people on islands in Maine, at least maybe 10 to 20 years ago, drank a lot of, because it was cheap. And a lot of people who maybe didn't have enough money to buy the good alcohol would get Allen's coffee brandy, and they put it in their coffee or they put it in their milk. And it is the grossest thing in the world to Sean.
I don't like coffee liqueur, that's all. But Crown Royal, I like. I don't need the coffee, just the Crown.
So Dee says, I think I've told this one before, but I went to a party that turned out to be a launch. You did! Because I remember this because it's so traumatizing to me, Dee. I went to a party that turned out to be a lingerie party, and I didn't realize it until the chick was hanging out the garage window telling me and my friend to take her clothes off.
So what happened after that, Dee?
That is terrifying.
Did you leave or did you take your clothes off? Put on some lingerie.
Lingerie. I can't even imagine what I would have done. I think I would have left.
Oh, you probably would have left.
I think I would have left because I'm not hung up. Like, yeah. Plus, it's Maine and it's cold. Do you want to read Fiona's?
My mom and aunties had a cousin who was a recluse. When they were little, which was the World War II period, they thought he was a spy for China because he had all sorts of electronic equipment in his bedroom and used shortwave radio all the time.
That's so cool.
He probably was.
No, he wasn't. My Grandpa Morse, so my mom's dad, was a very small man, like kind of the size of me, honestly. And he was a drummer and a salesman. He was a jazz drummer, like played in big bands, but his hobby was to do shortwave radio. Is that how you call it?
Babe? Yeah.
And like he built all these things and everyone thought he was such a weirdo because he built all these like radio equipment, you know, just out of stuff that he found. And like he was a genius, he was so brilliant and like a wonderful human. He died when I was really little, so I didn't really get to interact with him very much, but I still have the teddy bear he sent me from California on our bureau right now. Anyways, that's Teddy. That's from my Grandpa Morse. But he, like, your story reminds me of him because of how he was sort of ostracized a little bit because of that genius, that ability to like, an obsession almost, like to put radios together because he wanted so badly to understand everything that was going on in the world around him, you know, in the 1930s and then eventually in the 1940s and 50s. And that, I think that's just fascinating, like that. I mean, we don't have to do that as much anymore.
Not with the interwebs.
Yeah, but like that quest and desire for knowledge and that like, okay, this is what the newspaper is giving me, but I want more. And that's kind of what drove him. And then his son, one of his sons, because he had three, my Uncle Gary, ended up being really similarly brained, and he ended up working for NASA and like being in charge of communications for huge amounts of like space stuff, I guess. That's the simplest way to say it. But I'm so in awe of how their brains work and how they did that, and like how sometimes that desire for knowledge can make you almost ostracized.
That's the word I was thinking of, baby.
Yeah, from community. I'm so sorry. I almost went into the world of self-righteous right there.
You narrowly avoided that, honey.
I know. Fiona says there's lots of autism continuum folks in our family, and pretty sure some of the stories my older relatives tell us are about folks who were on the continuum. And I like that.
That makes sense too.
No. And that's like another thing, you know, like how many of those stories from the early 1900s or even the middle 1900s or even the 1960s are really, you know, about our peculiar relatives who were right. just like a little neurodivergent that we right. totally have
a better understanding of.
Yeah.
Nowadays. Yeah. Go back up to D's, honey, right above Fiona's there. So all right. Finish her story.
Oh,
she said, my friend and I went inside, kept our clothes on, held hands all night long, never left the couch.
This is how I know.
At the lingerie party.
This is how I know that Dee and I are meant to be friends.
Yeah, you would have, if you would have gone there with Dee, you would have done the same thing.
Yeah. I'm like, do we go in? Can we leave?
Probably would have tried to talk her into leaving.
I would have. And Dee would be like, no, that's impolite. We got to go in and see what's happening. And I'd be like, I don't know. And then I would have, because of peer pressure. And then we would have sat on the couch awkwardly together, terrified.
You got to go up. You missed a big giant one.
All right, you read it.
Susie says, Big Art's deceased Nan came to visit me the day she died. Art was on his way to New York, and baby Art and I were home in Winter Harbor. Nan came that night and stood at the bottom of the bed. She said, I came to say goodbye to you and Arthur, and I love you. She then went into the nursery and stood by the crib. She said her goodbye, and then she was gone.
Aww.
That's cool.
That's really lovely.
It is.
That's so lovely.
I love those kind of stories. Like,
why do you think you love them?
I don't know. I don't.
Is it because they make you think that there's something beyond our mortal realm?
I don't even think that far. Is it? I just think it's cool that people can have the opportunity to say goodbye sometimes.
Hey, Murph.
On their way out.
Mr. Murphy came in and now he's licking my foot.
Your injured foot?
No, the good foot.
The other foot?
Not the boo-boo toe foot.
Dang it. You gotta wash your feet before bed tonight, baby.
He's washing them for me.
No, that doesn't count.
I love this dog. He's a cool dog. I always feel guilty when I post pictures of Mr. Murphy because people think he's Sparty. And then they're like, is Sparty not dead? Did you lie? And then that's a little weird.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, like, when I don't know if I really have any stories of, like, having relatives, like, Susie's amazing story.
Yeah.
But I often feel that, like, they're gone. And sometimes I have these really weird... I don't think I should talk about this, actually.
All right. I got one for myself.
Like, okay.
It's not a weird life event because it's happened to me multiple times, but it hasn't happened to me in literally decades.
Is it about taking a poopy?
No, I do that every day at least once or four times.
Okay.
But, trying to think of the term. Oh, sleep paralysis.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why, it was just a particular time in my life. It was when I used to work for my grandparents and I'd spend the night at their house on the weekends.
All right.
And oftentimes I would end up taking a little nap on the couch.
Uh-huh.
And I would feel like I would wake up. Like, in my brain, I was fully awake, but I could not move one tiniest little muscle. Like, I couldn't even blink or speak or anything. And it was very scary to me. And the only way out for me was to force myself, and this is like in quote marks, to go back to sleep.
That's so funny.
Even though I might have been asleep the whole time. But in my brain, as soon as I could go back to sleep, I had another chance to wake up normally, was the rationale.
That's so wild.
And it worked. But the actual events were quite scary because I was trying to talk and stuff, and I just... It was like being, you know, in a coma or something.
Yeah.
You have a thought in your brain, but nothing's reacting.
The only time that kind of happened to me, and you know the story, and I probably told parts of it before, was when we were in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And we were in an allegedly haunted hotel. And I remember being in bed and waking up, and there was a little girl and a man on the side of the bed. just staring at me. And I'm like, they think I'm their mom. I'm not their mom. I am not their mom. And then they're like, you can be our mom. And I was like, no, I can't be her mom. And then I just had this vision of this woman in the passenger seat, and the husband is driving, and the little girl and a boy are in the back seat of this car, and they're going down kind of like a mountain road, and it's dark out, and the car just loses it. It just like collapses, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, that's how you lost your mom and you're still looking for her. And they were like I could tell, like, in my sleep paralysis or whatever it was, that they're like, yeah, that's how we're looking for her.
Ah.
And I was like, I'm not her. I'm not her. And Sean needs to experience this. And Sean's like on the other side of me doing his typical Sean, which is like,
oh, come on. Don't oversell it, man.
It's really loud. And like, I'm like, and it was like so hard to even like talk, but I talked, and I eventually managed to like get him to wake up, and it was the most terrifying thing.
It was cool though, wasn't it?
It was cool but terrifying.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was a cool experience. Probably because I didn't have to have the actual experience.
You didn't have the children and the death of driving down the mountain and like. And it was so funny because we had left the bathroom light on behind.
Which would have been like almost right in front of your face.
Yeah. So like they were in front of the bathroom, which obscured a lot of their features.
They were silhouetted.
Yeah. It was so scary, but kind of amazing all at once. And I was like, wow, brains are amazing.
That was a good place to stay, but it was a tiny ass of a hotel room.
It was fun. So Dee said, our friend was our sort of bodyguard, and he sat on the other side of my friend. My friend and I hoped that was this a mixed gender?
No, just keep waiting.
My friend and I thought that if everyone thought we were a couple, they'd leave us alone.
Now jump all the way down to the bottom.
And almost earlier, Dee says, before the party, our bodyguard got pulled over by a cop in the movie theater parking lot for his music being too loud. My brain thought the cop thought my friend and I were prostitutes because of how we were standing when the friend pulled up. What a night, Dee. That's such a night.
But Fiona asked the same question you did if you go down to Fiona.
Wait, where?
She said, wait, Dee, there were dudes at the lingerie party.
Yeah, I know. And then Dee's like, yep, but I can't remember if any of them were in their underwear, just that chick and her boobs out the window. You've repressed it. You've repressed most of the horror.
Those are like some lucky dudes got to go to a lingerie party for women.
And speaking of lucky dude, Doug Marshall's here and he says hi. Hi, Doug Marshall.
Doug.
Woo. And Fiona says,
I was going to say, oh, that reminds me of a story my mom has told about my dad sitting bolt upright in the middle of the night saying Mrs. X from Y is dead. A few weeks later, they were in Rhodesia. They got a letter from Scotland, and that was the night that woman died. She'd been a second mom to kids in the village.
That's so sad.
See, that's also very interesting to me. It's not like the visit stuff, but the premonition, I don't know what you call it if it occurs at the same time. But that wouldn't make it technically a premonition, but.
Yeah, well, that's what I was deciding not to talk about earlier.
A premonition?
Just like, you know, here's one that I will tell because it's not as traumatizing.
Or all those dreams you used to have about.
Okay, thank you for telling it. All right, blah, 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 blah. So,
warrior.
What? Oh, my dreams about you, baby.
Yes, baby. When you were just a wee girl.
When I was just a wee girl.
Anyway, Doug's telling a thing.
Doug says he came in at the right time because we were talking about boobs. But Fiona says in Scotland it's called the site. Well, we're Scottish a little bit. So,
I am. Are you too?
Yes.
Oh, Missy.
Phil Brooks, my friend. Anyways, one of the big stories of my youth of when I did one of those things like this was that I was in my bedroom playing because I was a lonely little child and my mom was often on the phone and she came in my room and I looked up at her and I said, my cousin Marky broke his arm. He fell off the skateboarder. I don't remember what it was, but I had a detail. And she looked at me and she was like, like she gulped at me. I can still remember the fact that she was just like, how did you know that? And I'm like, I just know, I could feel it. My arm hurts from cousin Marky. And like, she was like, oh, cause my cousin Mark had indeed
broken his arm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And when I was a little kid, I used to do stuff like that all the time, which is why everyone thought I was weird. Now they think I'm weird for a different reason.
Who?
Everybody.
Your family?
The world.
The world?
The world.
Oh, you're just you, baby.
I'm just me. I'm all right with being weird. Dee said college was a great time.
LOL. Was that the lingerie party in college?
and when she was worried, people thought they were prostitutes. Dee, one time, I pretended to be a prostitute for the law.
Yeah, it was a snitch.
I was a snitch. Which is a weird kind of story. I always feel like you and I have so many weird stories, Shawnee, and the only time we ever get to tell them is in the podcast, because when we're out with our friends are always too busy talking.
That's right.
You're so, correct. John Bell says...
Oh, let me take a drink for this.
Are you really going to take a drink?
Just sell some water. My throat is dry.
His throat is dry, my friends, because there's no dog licking in.
My first wife was having a girls' party in the house. I had to be gone, but forgot my wallet and came back in an hour to get my wallet. When I was unlocking the door, I thought bees were attacking me, so I rushed in.
Oh, no.
I look up, and she is holding this thing as big as my arm. It looked like it had a freaking heartbeat. Life was never the same.
Okay, I just watched. There's this amazing comedian.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, John. But there's an amazing comedian, and he's on The Daily Show now. And his first name is Josh. And I can't remember if his last name is Johnson or Jackson, but he's amazing. And I love him. Like, I'm completely in love with him. Like, I think he's meant to be a superstar. There's just something about him. And he tells a story about how he was in TSA and how he and this other woman.
He was a TSA employee?
No. He was going through TSA
security check?
To get somewhere.
Yeah.
And he's behind this woman who's kind of a celebrity. So he's like, oh, I know her. Oh, my gosh. Like, I'm right behind her in TSA.
Right.
He's kind of freaking out. And so she and he both get pulled over, right?
For extra checks.
For extra checks.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, like TSA guys, like just super casual. And he goes through her bag first because she's the first one, right? And he opens the bag and he's like, there's something buzzing in here. And she's like, what? And she's like, yeah, there's something buzzing in here. She's like, I don't know what's buzzing. And he like, the comedian is amazing when he tells this story, because he's like, you know how like you have everything on like nicely folded in your bag? The TSA guy's like, boom, 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 and he's doing this, right? And then all of a sudden he grabs this thing that's as big as an arm and buzzing. And he's like, ah!
That's just like John's story, apparently.
And he's like, and the thing is like moving all around, right? And the TSA guy cannot figure out how to shut it off, and it's like twitching on the table and has this life of its own. And the lady in front of him is like, and the comedian guy's like, I don't notice about her. And the TSI guy is like, ew, I touched it. And it's the best story ever.
Meanwhile, she's staring with longing.
No, I think she was probably really embarrassed.
Runaway story.
But his point is like, you know, you got these people that you admire, and then you're like, oh, they're normal.
They're only human.
They're only human. Like, I just saw her thingy. How am I ever going to watch her again do anything without thinking of this experience behind her in TSA? But it's also, like, really funny and interesting because, like, for John or for that comedian, when you have, like, that really weird, unexpected moment, like you as that little boy on the bed and the towel lady, or John busting into his house because he forgot his wallet and seeing that, or this comedian seeing someone he admires having a thing as big as an arm in the back. In the thing, and when he's telling the story, he's like the TSA guy, like, he's like, he took a step back. He like not only took a step back, he like when he just first heard the buzzing, he was like, like he took a step back and he like turned his back, like he was ready for it to explode. And the comedian's like, and here we are, we're just standing right there. Like if it explodes, like we're dead. Like he's not like, get back. He's like himself, and it's just the funniest story. He's brilliant. I'll put his name in the podcast notes afterwards. It's an amazing, amazing, funny story. Fiona says, I can't decide the appropriate emoji for John's Nana Tomiver storyteller. I don't know what it would be. Dee said, I still would have been your friend, Carrie, because being weird is awesome. And that's why I love Dee, because she understands. And that party was indeed her sophomore year. And she says, I would have said, you break it, you pay for it.
Yeah. Something the size of your arm is probably pretty pricey, too.
Fiona said, LMHO, I have a vision of a fire truck hose.
That's exactly what, yeah.
Whipping around. Dead.
It's got a Tesla car battery.
And she said, I'm laughing because it was in the carry-on.
That was a big carry-on.
I know somebody who had to go pick up a package at a military base. Yeah. Not our daughter.
You just preface it with not our daughter?
Yeah, and and
now I don't believe you. Anyways.
And like the return label said
Sex Toys Incorporated.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what we like. And the guy was like behind the counter, like, oh yes, blah blah, like Sean Farrar. Here's your, oh yes, Sean Farrar. Here's your package.
I believe that.
Dee said if it was a long flight, she'd need something to keep her entertained.
Oh Jesus. Will you hear that?
Oh no.
It'd be like a white noise machine on there.
I would like to tell everyone. Fiona's like, here's your package. So people are always like, Sean, can you run for a town counselor? Carrie, can you run for a state rep? And these podcasts are the reason why we can't.
Oh yeah. That's why we do them.
So we can't.
So we don't have to commit.
Oh, dude. All right, so here's another one. You ready?
Oh, you got another one?
I'm just looking for another one.
All right.
Do you have another one?
No, you go ahead.
Because I'm looking right now.
Oh, you just...
Okay, I found one. One night, I haven't read this through, so apologies. One night when I was around 15, my best friend and I, again, this is from BuzzFeed, stayed home alone at her house while her parents were away. The house had a long driveway off the road and was surrounded by woods. It snowed that night. In the morning, when we were leaving, we found footprints that went all the way down the driveway and stopped by the back of the house. And there were none leading away.
What?
Yeah.
Dang.
We left immediately, and she refused to go back until her parents were home. Nothing was messed with. No windows appeared broken, and nothing was stolen. It was just weird.
That was just the guy that lives in the walls.
I know.
Under the stairwell.
You know that's the guy who lives, like, in the walls.
Yeah. He only had to go in, and then he was all set.
That's terrifying. That's so freaky.
That's kind of cramped quarters, but...
That's...
Talk about knowing everything about your roommates.
Oh, I have another dead person story. Ready?
Oh, geez, you're full of them.
Fiona might like it. At almost the exact moment my grandfather died, although Doug might not like it because I don't think there's any boobies in it. But anyways, here it goes. At almost the exact moment my grandfather died, the large mirror over the staircase at our family cabin cracked down the middle. Since then, several times when my mom and her siblings have discussed their dad, they found or heard broken or breaking glass. Once, every glass on a shelf spontaneously cracked. Wow. Another time, all the glasses in the dishwasher broke. They always say my granddad loved living so much and couldn't stand dying so soon, so this was his way of coming back.
We need that dishwasher.
No, I don't want all the things to break.
No, we'll clean our dishes like crazy. We'll just have to get plastic cups.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Fiona did like it.
Here, you want to hear a creepy one? A creepy murder one?
I have a creepy one, kinda.
All right, let me do this one and then you do yours.
All right.
Ready?
Yeah.
This is from Bored Panda, and it says, my father had a heart attack many years ago, and I showed up at the hospital at 3 a.m. Given the time and the fact that he was in ICU, I initially wasn't allowed in. However, I was finally let in by the nurse who calmed me down and allowed me to see my father. He was so kind to our family throughout my dad's hospital stay. About 6 months later, my paternal grandmother was in the ICU for a medical issue. And again, we were cared for by this nurse. About a year later, I received a call from my dad telling me to turn on CNN. Turns out the nurse was Charles Cullen, who famously confessed to murdering up to 40 patients.
Wow. This thing, she's hanging out in her
bathroom. Can you imagine?
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's so crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Fiona said the breaking glass was cool. It was a cool story. And Dee says, Sean?
Oh, I just remembered one. A couple weeks ago, I went to Dollar Tree and was just waiting in line. This guy comes up to me and goes, ma'am, I just have to you, looks me up and down. You are the atomic bomb. He proceeds to repeat atomic bomb a few times. The lady in front of me was smiling. I was mortified.
You're the atomic bomb. I'm going to always call you that now.
Maybe the next guy will call you nuclear.
That's awesome. All right,
let me tell this story. It's not my story. It's from boardpanda.com.
I am ready.
It says, I'm a firefighter. We got a call for an overdose around 3 a.m. to a rough part of our district.
Again, that time.
In the middle of the winter. It's the witch of the hour, baby.
All right.
Unfortunately, the patient was long gone.
Oh.
And her dealer or whatever found her like that when he dropped some stuff off. As we were packing up our stuff, mind you, this is absolutely trashed mobile home. I hear something down the hall that said, lights? I asked my partner if he said anything, as it was just him and I cleaning up, and he said no. I walked to the far end of the trailer where I heard it, and shown my flashlight, I get a reflection out of the window. They have a small tool shed that had a flickering light. It piqued my interest, so my partner and I go out there. We hear crying and notice the door is padlocked. We cut the padlock, and this little six-year-old girl was in there.
Huh?
She said her mom puts her in there when she gets mad at her. She said she got scared when she heard the sirens and didn't know what to do.
Oh, my gosh.
To this day, I have no idea what happened or where the voice came from, but I'll take the blame on it.
That's amazing and so sad and so scary and so everything.
I know.
Fiona says witching hour in Scotland is at 3 and that they were born at 3. And Dee says, my brother said I need to have some old guy follow me around who will randomly just go boom when he feels like it, since I'm the ball.
That's hilarious. I think you should.
I like Dee's brother. I would like him to be my brother. Do you have
boom. What?
Do you have a wrap-up statement, my friend?
A wrap-up statement?
Yeah, it's 8.
No, it's 7:58. I don't have a wrap-up story.
It is 7:58 Eastern Standard Time and 53 seconds, which means we have just enough time to wrap up and thank you. Oh, wait, Susie. Before we go, Susie says, my mother still comes to me at night and sits at the end of the bed, and she pats me on the leg like she did when I came home from a date. She also moves and hides things in the house. I would like my mom to do that.
As long as she doesn't, like, sit on the covers when you're trying to pull them up. Like the dogs.
Like, Sean's like, I don't care if you visit me from the covers,
Betty.
Sean's all about his covers.
I love me some covers.
He does love him some covers. And Fiona says, aw, because that's adorable.
That is adorable.
That's really sweet, Susie. That's really lucky, honestly.
Yeah, I was just kidding about the covers.
And Fiona, much like Shawnee.
Oh, see?
Bonding in their Scottishness says, just don't hug the covers.
Don't hug the covers.
Thank you all for hanging out with us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Dealing with me in pain. And
sorry about the short notice. You haven't been in pain for the whole podcast.
Oh, I have.
You forgot about it.
I've been suppressing. It's
all in your head, baby. You got to push through it, Gary. You got to train harder.
Why did you guys get divorced? Oh, what's this podcast?
What?
Oh, like, just no, put it just in as evidence at the trial? Like,
I'm
what?
I'm going to take care of that little toe as soon as we go off.
Oh, gosh. Don't be creepy. You're being creepy.
Let me see that cute little toe, baby.
Yeah. It's but, really.
You know, Susie says celebrate the dreamers.
It's swollen and discolored and it hurts. And no, I want to know why. And I don't know what to do for it. So, there you go. It's a podcast. The podcast is over. We're going to do an awesome outro, and the music is from Stubby, who is amazing and a great writer, too. And thanks for hanging out with us.
Have a great weekend.
And hopefully none of you get hurt.
Oh, yeah. Don't stub your toes.
No toe injuries. No pains. Be chill.
Thank you for listening to Loving the Strange. Please be sure to like and subscribe. And remember, embrace the strange. New episodes every Saturday, live streaming Fridays. Go get your strange on, friends. Thanks for listening.